Good morning. God bless everybody. I don't ever take this lightly when I get up here. I just do not. It's a big deal to be able to teach this group, this body of hungry souls that come to be fed God's word and love God's word and love God. And there's, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4 people on here this morning, whether online or in presence, that have heard different versions of this teaching already, and this is the third version of it. And anyways, it's something that kind of intrigued me. We're going to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's a good question, the one I didn't. I think I'll call it Thetchy Study. Until I figure out maybe something else. But. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. We'll read this. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. So I wanted to know more about this verse. And so when I looked up that ye study or study, it's actually, it's the Greek word philotimiomai. Forgive the pronunciation. It's a verb, but it's only used 3 times in God's word. And I'm going to give you some of the different definitions, which it really kind of put me in a spin when I was trying to take a look at it because of these different definitions. So Bullinger has it to love, honor, for that ye study. Bullinger's got it as to love, honor, to exert oneself from a love and sense of honor, to make it a point of honor, to love, honor, to be ambitious of doing anything, to exert oneself, to strive as from a love and sense of honor. Now that doesn't quite sound like that ye study, does it? So I really was scratching my head. I was like, okay, what is it really in God's word conveying here? So then I looked at some other definitions. Strong's Concordance has it as eager or earnest to do something. Thayer has to be fond of honor, to be activated by love of honor, from a love of honor, to strive to bring something to pass, to be ambitious, to make it one's aim. So this here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you must remember, is a doctrine epistle. And so this is, you know, honestly an exhortation to the Thessalonians. So it's not reproof or correction like Corinthians was or Galatians was. Remember, theirs didn't have quite that flavor of words. And then Reverend Cummins has from the, he's got to make it a point of honor, to be tranquil and to do your own business and to work with your hands even as we charged you. And Reverend Cummins also has a footnote in his working translation of that covers, he's got to have as one's ambition, to exert oneself as from a love and sense of honor, to make it a point to honor, to consider it an honor, to aspire. So let's look at some of these other verses. I said there was 3 places, so let's go to Romans chapter 15. Maybe you can see where I was, you know, really needing to look a little more too, because again, I was like, okay, in the King James Version it says that ye study, but I just had to keep digging. Romans 15, we'll start in verse 19. And the usage is actually in verse 20, have I strived. This is where that word is at. But verse 19, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. So there's that word there again. It's the have I strived. The last place is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Corinthians 5 and verse 9. And it's the word labor. And my center reference has a marking calling it endeavor. But anyways, we'll read the verse. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. And Reverend Cummins here has, wherefore we also consider it an honor. And so, after I taught this two times, Julie said, hey, Ron. She's real good with that. She remembers details that are just... She goes, Reverend Gere's got a... There's a chapter in... that. What's the book, Julie? Open my eyes that I may see. And it's about this Thessalonians. And he's got, in our own individual walks, we know we want to be our best. Well, this is my putting it like that. In our own individual walks, we know we want to be our best. To do better, we got our hands full, right? We got our hands full to be quiet, to do our own business, and to be enterprising. We give it our best. We give it our all, right? Each and every one of us. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11. Let's go back there because we're not done with this verse. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Yeah, Reverend Chris Gears, spin on part of this verse had to do with the, like I mentioned earlier, that this was not a reproof or correction epistle like the Corinthians or the Galatians was, because when you start in the early parts of Thessalonians, you see how the Thessalonians were a model church. They were great to be spoken of, and what they did and what they accomplished, even in light of all that they had going on in their lives. And so, you know, it was a thing that here, even for this model church, was an exhortation for them to do something even more. And that's kind of the spin that was put on that. So let's read this verse 11 again. And that she studied to be what?
Quiet.
Yeah. Okay. This word's used five times. Quiet is hisukozazo, however you say it. And this is to be at rest, be quiet or tranquil, free from anxiety, tension, or restlessness. There's a lot in this verse. And then it says, your own business. You know what word that is? Idios. One's own. You know, haven't we heard that one taught before? So let's read this verse. And that you study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. That you may walk honestly. Okay, here we go again. Honestly. This one's used only three times. And it's yusukomonos. Oh gosh, this is really good. This honestly is honestly, decently. It's okay, definition is graceful with propriety of outward conduct, gracefully becoming like a gentleman with dignity. that puts a lot in these two verses of this verse 11 and 12. So Reverend Cummins also has a note in his working translation that covers 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 to 12. And he says, this epistle refers to charges given to the Thessalonians previously with the further encouragement to abound even more in their walk and love towards others. And so we'll read the rest of this verse because it doesn't stop there. Verse 12 then again says that you may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that you may have what?
Lack of nothing.
Well, you might have a need, and you might have a want, right? And they do come up, and you might even see where there might be a need, or you might see where there's a want. And so you've got that ambition to pursue, to do something about it. And I call it takes going to God. At this point, it takes going to God. And takes things figuring out. So let's look at some of that. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I just really had to know more about these verses in Thessalonians. And it really got me going, starting off just knowing where it was sandwiched at. The fact that it's sandwiched right there before those, you know, verses about the return. But I couldn't just isolate it in regards to that because of the fact of, you know, let me find them. Because there's verses. Verse 9 of 1 Thessalonians 4 starts off with the word but. So you read verse 9, 10, and 11, and 12, and then the next verse, 13, starts with the word but. So already that short little span of verses is kind of like set to their own, so to speak. But regardless, there was plenty of learning. So now we're on the track of trying to go to God when we got these situations. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So it's God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And what? Holding forth the word of life. To strive to bring something to pass. That's what we're looking at. At least I believe. Philippians 3:13. 3:13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. So again, this is remembering that we are exerting ourselves to go to God to bring something to pass from love, to make it one's own aim. We forget those things that are behind. We press toward the mark, and God shall reveal, is what we just read. Philippians 4. Remember, we're going to God. Philippians 4. I know that I've got those areas in my life. I just keep digging. I just keep digging. I just keep... Things come up. 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So we're to be careful for nothing. We're not to be anxious, which is distracted. And we don't worry over things. Plenty of instruction. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of believing and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that you were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that you need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And here's the focus that I see, is to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That section we just read, remember how I mentioned that these were like a model church? Their example and what they had were going through, even though they had a lot happening, that wasn't like the Corinthians or Galatians, what they received. Look at Hebrews, please, chapter 5. Hebrews 5:12. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. And that's what we want to be, that we exercise, you know, with God working in us between good and evil. It's a definite walk. Matthew 26. Verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. There it is. Watch and pray. It is a spiritual battle, and we can't ever forget that. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, well, do we? Yeah. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There it is. We're supposed to cast down all those imaginations and remember where our strength comes from, first and foremost. You know, we get real wrapped up in trying to do things and figuring things out and going to God and working on this or working on that. And sometimes we lose focus of where the strength you know, comes from, and we just got to keep reminding ourselves, you know, that was God telling me something. That's what I got to stick to, you know. And here's a familiar verse, chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I think we just heard this one not too long ago. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but where's our sufficiency? But God is our sufficiency. Okay, 1 John 4. These are nice little reminders. 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Oh. I don't know about you guys, but I have to have these little reminders. Here's another one that's a good one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. And again, remember, this is addressed to the Thessalonians, not the Corinthians or the Galatians. And these were a model church. And this is speaking about some of the things that they did and that they were able to accomplish, as well as us nowadays. But verse 13 says, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It effectively worketh also in you that believe. Okay, I wrote some notes. I got here. I put that this is the objective. The objective is that we believe. And first of all, we received it, right? And we know that it is the truth, right? And so now that we know that, we just plain need to believe it. We want to practice. Okay. One of the best ways I know, and you know too, is retimeries. Right? I put a note, might be good to do retimeries. So here's some of mine. We're not going to go to them all, but I did hear an objective one time, and that's why I said objective. I had 5 objectives. One of the objectives was practice believing to bring material abundance to you and the ministry. Some of the retimeries that were associated with that were Psalm 37:25, Malachi 3:10b, 2 Corinthians 8:14, which was always a really easy one to remember, right? 2 Corinthians 9:8, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. So guess what I did this week? I pulled out my real Timory book. It's like a business card file. It's got retimeries in it. So walking around the house looking at retimeries. And then when I'm going out and I'm doing stuff, I'm doing a retimery. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Well, it's got to start with, you know, you got to put that stuff in your head. So let's look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, 14. Wherefore, oh, that's wrong chapter, sorry. 14. Oh, yeah. Okay. 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by every joint, supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So, we're to grow up into him, the whole body fitly joined together. I bring this up because we know full well we're all individuals. And we're all growing up, and we all each have our own job to do. I got enough on my plate. So, we each got our own job to do. One, to be quiet. Two, to mind our own business. Three, to be enterprising, that we have no lack. Exerting in love, to be ambitious, to make it our aim. 1 Corinthians 12. Why? 1 Corinthians 12. Verse 1. Now concerning spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. It's a spiritual battle. He doesn't want us stupid. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4:13. And this is part of what will help us along the way, is how we keep our eyes here. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. So we're to keep our eyes on him. And I couldn't help but go to this section. I want to go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. I'm reading this section because it helps me. And I hope it'll help you too. Because, you know, here I am up here talking about trying to do better individually, trying to figure things out, trying to go to God, knowing God's telling me stuff at times and me trying to, you know, work on things, that I have an aim, that something that I want to do, something that I want to do out of love and pursue and go after and believe God's working within me. And do I always get it right? No. Hebrews 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despiseth not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereof. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths of your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And I'd rather say that when God chastens us and tells us and corrects us, he does it in love. We don't always get it right when we're trying to pursue something. We'll close where I started, 1 Thessalonians 4. Verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without and that ye may have lack of nothing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the greatness of the wonderful truths that are written, sometimes not always seen in your word, but that you continue to open our eyes so that we can get a better understanding to do our best for you and to walk lovingly and to be individuals that continue to rise up to help the one body, to rise up into our abilities, and that we can pursue and that we can offer to be our best and do our best. Thank you for your love and care for us, God, and for your watchfulness and how you allow us to walk in your love and grace and mercy and peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Wasn't that wonderful? I wanted to say something while we still have people on today. This is Kevin and Ann, and Aubrey, or we love to call him Butch. This is their last Sunday with us until they come visit sometime, because they're heading out west. They're going to go out to Colorado, right? And, you know, Butch is already taking a couple truckloads out there and all this kind of stuff. He's so industrious, you know. He's on the go, and so it's so wonderful. And they have been such a blessing. Kevin and Ann moved here shortly after we did, back in '89, right? And yeah, 1989. We didn't know what the future held, but we knew who held the future. And so we came here, I think partially because I didn't have anywhere else to go, and I grew up here and sort of liked the place. So anyway, so we moved here and lots of people followed us, but you know, and some of them that came very early are still here, and some of them came a little later are still here. And we're thankful for all of you that have been a part of our desire to be people who share the word and make the word available. And so we're very thankful for Kevin and Ann, and they're heading out west. They want to get out there and share the word out there like we've shared the word here, and set some stuff up and try to bless the people out there. So anybody out in Colorado, get ready, because here they come. And where are you going to live?
West Denver,
Littleton area. So the adversary's on notice, I guess, because we got some powerful believers coming there. So very thankful for your lives. And I wanted to say that for the people that are online. And Kevin is still going to be our registrar for summer school. So, yeah, I'm very nervous about that. And he's been a trustee for as long as I can remember. And he's still a trustee, and he will remain as a trustee of the Bible Fellowship for our 501c3, organization. I just wanted to get that out there to those of you that are online, and just love you, thank God for you, and you guys are so wonderful, such a blessing. So we're going to have a little party, send-off party for them here in a few minutes. So God bless.